drinking?
No. Well, 10 beers.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Now, whose ass I got to kiss to get myself a beer?
Welcome to show 29, BigFoamyHead.com, the Kenny Beer Show.
We call it the Kenny Beer Show because Kenny's here with us.
That's right.
And he's brought a variety of beers from his last beer run.
Right. And that was a beer run to Salt Lake City, Utah. We got a lot of beers to get through, and we're going to have a couple of squatter. We've had a couple of Squatters beers from the Squatters Brewing Company, Provo Girl Pilsner and Chasing Tail Golden Ale. We've knocked both of those out. The Provo Girl is 4% alcohol, pretty mainstream Pilsner beer, medium reception to that, wouldn't turn it down. The Chasing Tail Golden Ale was much better, and 2003 gold medal winner at the Great American Beer Festival. Kenny's here. Martin is here also with us. And since we got so much to get through, why don't we just go ahead and take a musical break now and then come back?
We've got show snacks. We'll talk about those in the next segment.
That's right. So let's take a listen here. It's a little bit of James Cotton. Rick mentioned the show snacks as we were fading out there. We got a little spread here because we got to talking about the beers that we're going to drink. They're Northwestern beers, sort of fair statement, over from Northwest over to in our last go round with Northwestern, they were all hoppy.
And those were all Washington State. These are
kind of interior, right?
But these are more interior.
Yeah.
Or Alaska.
Okay, yeah. And
Siberia.
So I picked up some barbecued chicken wings and some chipotle pimento cheese.
Pretty much gone.
Yeah, pretty much gone. And anyway, I went for things with a little more bite to them, let's say, to go with the hoppy beers. And then the beers that we've had here so far have not been real hoppy. Not at all.
I think this one we just got, though, is a little hoppier.
You okay?
What is this?
Yeah, what do we got here, Martin?
It's your turn to read.
Oh, okay. It's Orphan Abbey Belgian Style Ale.
Oh, yeah.
It's at ratebeer.com. It's GABF04, light copper in color with a small white head. Aroma of fruit, spice, rich, beady malt. Flavor is malty, bready, with subtle fruit and spice character.
I think that's...
It tastes just like my Noble Trappist.
Yeah, I think this is... it's got that Belgian... The spice notes are in there. This is a good beverage here. And is this the Squatters? Is this our last Squatters?
Last of the Squatters.
Okay, so this is... and where did we say they were from?
We didn't.
Somewhere?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Salt Lake City, Utah. All right, sweet.
And they're all 4% alcohol.
So is there an issue with Belgian monks being in a Mormon town? I just wondered about that. You think they sneak in and throw a blessing on it real quick so it's kind of a Mormon monkish beer?
They might have had a revelation about it.
You think? Okay.
Right after they bought Pepsi, they decided beer was okay.
Well, this is good. This is good stuff. This is my favorite so far. Very good. And speaking of your beer, we had a teaser from the last show on the website about the sneak preview. Your all grain brew, which you documented, you photographed.
I did a photo journal,
and once again, you celebrated your manliness by using power tools.
That's
in the creation of the beer. But you also addressed your more aesthetic side, your creative side, and you did your own sort of sculpture, which you explained to us last time what exactly a beer sculpture was, and this one was kind of like the. Trailer park version of that.
That's right. The sophisticated ones, those are the stainless steel tubing beer sculptures on wheels with pumps and valves and hoses. And this would be the alternate to that, where I basically stack stuff on top of freezers and tables and whatever I can find. So
it looked good, though. I mean, interesting.
It's functional.
So what did you? This
100% functional.
And this was an all grain brew, and you were creating.
James Spencer's Amarillo Ale,
which
recipe.
Is a fantastic beverage.
See, we have all this continuity with our previous shows and with James Spencer's shows.
And we talked about the use of power tools before. You got a drill.
And a paint mixer. Yeah.
And you did that to aerate the beer.
Yeah.
So basically the technique is stick the drill in there and turn it on.
That's right. And you whip it up until it gets all frothy.
Okay. And so that aerates it. And so now, because you were telling us about the difficulties of maintaining the temperature when it's off the flame, you had to ponder and come up with a way, how do you continue to keep the liquid hot and even raise the temperature? And your solution was what?
To do some step mash. And I went out and bought a steam cleaner from Harbor Freight, which are purveyors of fine junk.
That's right. The Harbor Freight just sells man stuff.
Yeah, it's all tools, like tools, cheap tools.
Yeah. So you bought a steam cleaner, and so the temperature would start to drop, and you would do?
I'd just turn on steam cleaner and just stick it in the wort or the mash and warm it up.
There you go.
Stir it vigorously. So $100 solution.
That's cool. And so that ended up saving you from a fancy beer thing. And of course, you can steam clean stuff, too.
Read all about it. Look at the photo journal. Yep. It's kind of interesting.
And then the sculpture you ended up making was basically arranging these things so that when you poured it in on top, it came out at the bottom like you wanted it.
Right. I put my hot lager tank on top of a freezer.
Yeah.
And used a gravity-based system instead of pumps and all that. So
it looked good, though. I thought it looked really good. And
we'll see if it works. The next step of this experiment is I'm going to rack the beer off of the yeast cake and immediately pour another batch of wort on top of that get two batches out of one vial of yeast.
But rack is a fancy name for siphon.
Siphon, exactly.
Okay, so you're going to siphon the beer off, hopefully without sucking too much of the yeast. And I think we mentioned this before, but the yeast multiply, right? Like
big time.
By the billions.
Yes, they do.
And so what was a little tiny packet you sprinkled on now becomes like an inch and a half thick layer at the bottom of your...
I don't sprinkle yeast. I had the White Labs vial,
which I put into the expensive yeast.
Well, I also did a, what do you call it, a little small batch.
A little starter batch,
that's right.
So you did this. So now, you're going to... is this recycling the yeast?
It's just using the same batch of yeast and going to give them another job to do.
Okay. And they'll continue to do that and they'll continue to multiply and everything once you've dumped some more sugar, the liquid.
Yeah, they'll go back to work.
Okay.
They're all set.
Just like sourdough bread. I mean,
I guess that is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, my concern is you end up developing this little layer of proteins and spent hops and whatever on top of the yeast, and that is going to come through. You know, so hopefully there won't be any off flavors from that.
Is that like yeast poop?
No, I hope not. I don't know. It might be.
Well, I believe that would be an off flavor. If you put a little coloring on it, you can wax your car with it.
There you go. Wax on, wax off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying not to crunch into the microphone.
You're making me laugh because he's going to great extremes not to crunch into the microphone.
I am. Well, I didn't mention the vinegar and salt chips were enjoying.
He's digging them.
These are a good contrast, though. Yeah. I'm having this Belgian ale, and it's sweet and spicy, and I wanted some salt.
This is good ale.
So we have a nice selection here, and I want to digress back to what we were talking about earlier, the beer event that we went to, the beer gala, and we mentioned – our contacts that we made there. And one thing that we said we were going to tell you about was we met a fellow there. His name's Steve Barziza. And Steve is rapidly becoming a friend of the show, and he hasn't even been on it yet. And so we got a chance to talk.
He seemed real excited when he found out we were podcasters and our topic was.
Yeah, and because here's Steve's mission in life is to let people know about the other beers that are out there in the world. Now, why is it his mission? Because his family owns and operates the distributing. Steve is a guy in charge of beer. So imagine a warehouse filled with beer and your client base, 90% of it, only wants like a 0.1% of what you had to offer. So
there's a whole education process that
exactly
has to be done.
So. And so the event that we went to, all of the people serving beer were all the employees from Southwestern, and they did a great job. They were all very knowledgeable about their beers. They
helpful.
Know how to educate you. And Steve is just like gung ho on all the time about beer. His life is devoted to beer, and we'll look forward to some more about from the next thrilling chapter of Homebrew Corner when we find out if you're. Your grand experiment with multitasking yeast works, right?
Yeah, I'm going to have to borrow some of your equipment.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's why I'm here. See, I'm in it. This is my contribution to homebrewing. It counts if I loan him one of my plastic buckets.
Well, my goal is to get beers for the
barbecue. Okay.
There was a guy when I was buying the grains who was doing the exact same thing. He's going, well, I'm on the barbecue team, and I was supposed to go, ooh, wow, you know.
Well, that's
hey, so am I.
All right, next segment coming up, we're going to talk a little more about barbecue. Let's take another listen now. This is a classic blues song. Everybody sang this. There's like a few songs that everybody is like obligated to sing. This is one, and you got to kind of have a rough, gruff voice to pull it off. It's Got My Mojo Working. It's Pine Top Perkins.
Mojo working, just don't hit to you. Got my mojo working, just don't wait on you. I want to love you so bad, don't know what to do. Down in Louisiana, get me a mojo. Down in Louisiana, get me a mojo.
joke on your women, just how tough she are. But just don't wait.
Joe working, a classic blues song. You can hear everybody and their brother sings that. So good job by Pine Top Perkins.
I don't know that band.
Pine Top Perkins?
No, and everybody and their brother.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a good song, though. It's very good. And I think that was like classic. When some people think of blues, that pretty much fits them all right there. So, again, those are from Texas Music Group. And what are we drinking now, Kenny?
So Wasatch Bobsled.
And he's got a picture of a sled?
It does, with four people on it.
Wow.
Not Olympians. Those look like your typical family and out-of-control sled.
So what do we think about mixing beer and bobsledding?
Sounds good like idea. Fun.
That's right.
Hey, the whole family's involved.
That's right. Obviously on that picture. So this is a what? Who's making this beer?
Wasatch.
Wasatch Beers. Okay. And named for, we're guessing, the Wasatch Mountain, the mountain range surrounding Salt Lake City. And this is, it says something on this other bottle I'm looking at, something about the Utah Beer Cooperative, Utah Brewers Cooperative, which, you know, that just strikes me as funny that there's that many beers and brewers in Salt Lake City. But apparently there are, right?
Yeah, so, well, there's a little article here from the Salt Lake Tribune called Busting Utah's Beer Myths.
Hmm?
And beer liquor lore is heavy here, and many customers just won't shed their age-old thinking. Take, for instance, the number 3.2, which refers to the percent of alcohol by weight in contained beer. When measured like the rest of the world, Utah's beer has 4% alcohol by volume, and that's very similar to the 5% beers that you get everywhere else or in many other states. So he says that means all those youthful drives to Wyoming for bitter beer were probably a waste of time and gas. You'd have to drink a lot of beer to notice a 1% alcohol difference.
Does it say that on the bottle? We're looking at the bottles.
It says 4% alcohol by...
So they do it by weight instead of the ABV alcohol by volume.
Yeah.
Yours says...
Well, this is by volume, but okay. Apparently there's a 3.2 law there.
Okay. Okay, I gotcha.
Well, if they weighed me right now, I don't think I'd make that.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, how much beer are you by volume?
By weight.
The second myth is... the point of brewing beer is to have as much alcohol as possible. Not really, as you know,
yeah.
And I know, we brew beers that, by style.
Right.
And if it's a big beer, then it's going to have more alcohol. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it might be a session beer.
But sometimes that's to get a taste. Like the Imperial Stouts, the warmth is from
it's
the
characteristic
alcohol.
Of it. Yeah.
And is part of the taste as well. And the barley wines, of course, the richer taste is... Again, it's a byproduct. Is there's a ton of alcohol.
So for people like Chud, what do we think of the brown ale? Bobsled brown.
I think it's pretty good.
Pretty good. I like it. It's kind of malty.
This is one you can drink a lot. What are we? And we got one more right behind it. Another Wasatch Beers. I keep thinking it was Wasatch Brothers. Wasatch Beers. And this is one. Is this the one that you said was controversial?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Why is it controversial, Kenny?
Yes, Kenny. Tell us why.
Rick, you have the literature.
Well,
Kenny deflects to Rick.
It's Polygamy Porter.
Yes.
This dark, medium-bodied ale offers the drinkability of a much lighter beer. The inviting chocolate malty flavors fade into slightly dry, silky, smooth finish.
Well
why have just one?
Yeah, let's just have one instead of none. Bust that thing open. Okay, Kenny's working the can opener here.
What I like is the fact that they're twist-off lids and he's using the can opener.
Okay.
It works.
It always works.
Yeah, you're guaranteed to work. What's worse is watching people, like, rip their hands apart when they, you know, that's something funny. People get these beers and they go and they buy them at the store and they're so used to Buds and stuff. And they get, like, a good beer for a change and it's crimped on because it's conditioned in the bottle, and they go and like just shred their hands trying to twist it off, and you deserve that because you should know better.
They should
know.
It's
all that bud drinking that's rotted your brain. As our evils of alcohol lecture a couple of shows back. So yeah, good stuff here. And
well, I want you to know that my AA counselor does appreciate the positive spin you put on ripping their hands.
Yeah, well, we're here to serve, Barton.
Okay,
this is a good porter. I think it's right there with the other porters. It's got a little bit of a. I'm trying to put, and I see you thinking about it for a minute.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking I don't know enough about porters.
Exactly. It has a very smoky taste to it.
Well, there are smoked porters.
Yeah, and that's where I think you're
thinking
that's what
make
it is.
One.
That's what I think this taste might be, is this has got a little smoke to it.
They used smoked peat, if I remember right.
Yeah, and which is the fires that they use, right?
Yeah.
And that's where some of the smoke flavor came from.
So for us, if we wanted to brew a batch of this, we would put it in our grains. Prior to brewing.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, that might be real interesting to try.
I'm thinking about doing it.
So, but typically the two flavors associated with porter, coffee and chocolate. right? And I think this is a little more coffee than chocolate, but it's got that smoke. I think you're right on that, Martin. It's got a little more smoke coming through than...
Well, I have just one.
Yeah, I think we need several to really be sure, right?
And it's polygamist.
And, of course, we keep saying, that sounds like such a lame thing until you remember what the name of it is. Polygamy Porter, why just have one? Yes. Get it? Yes. So, good stuff. That's very good beer. And so we're still...
Thank you for bringing these back.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks, Kenny. This is great. We appreciate all the beer that you brought to us. And
anytime.
And we will...
We have more beer news, I bet.
Yes, we do. We've got more beer news.
Underneath the potatoes.
I had one that kind of aggravated me a little bit, only because Memphis has been screwed before by northern cities getting things they shouldn't have got. We lost the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to Cleveland, but I heard they drove it into the ground.
Well, before that, we lost the War of Northern Aggression.
Well, that too. Yeah. Well,
yeah, but we got all the New Orleans refugees.
There's that. Yes. We can count our blessings for that. Well, and actually, we didn't get them directly. We got them from Houston after Houston ran them out. Right. So anyway, I was looking at this bit of beer news. And I thought, oh, look at this. The National Beer Hall of Fame planned for Cincinnati. What the hell? I mean, why not Milwaukee or anywhere in Wisconsin or St. Louis, perhaps?
Or even in the Northwest.
Well, I think Drew Carey had something to do with that. Remember he had that beer
cup? That's right, the beer thing. That's right. He did promote beer quite a bit on the show.
Yes, he did.
Okay. I wouldn't say that Memphis is a beer mecca, though.
Well, I wasn't thinking we'd get it. But no, okay.
but
then,
if we have a mosquito museum,
that's right.
Memphis would get it.
We're winners.
That's right. Was it the state bird? It's a mosquito.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what most people don't realize is, at the turn of the century, there was a mosquito.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yellow fever plague.
The yellow fever wiped us out.
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, about the National Beer Hall of Fame, Cincinnati has been chosen as the site for a Beer Hall of Fame. Leisure Technician, the company promoting the Beer Hall of Fame, hopes to construct the Beer Hall of Fame at Cincinnati's Tower Place Mall for a September 2006 opening. Microbrewery, food court, and home brewing area are part of the overall plans. It's a mall. And it says a Beer Hall of Fame. So I think we now see what it is. Somebody's putting a label on it. They're making it a beer.
Dick, to address this, maybe we ought to get a hold of our congressmen and have them pass a bill putting a beer stop at every rest stop along Interstate 40. Good use of our tax dollars.
and the dead air as we ponder.
No, I'm just thinking
the magnitude of this idea.
As they station a CHP or a sheriff or something immediately after that exit.
That's right.
Or better yet, have them serve, and then they can give you a breathalyzer test before you hit the road.
Well, that's a revenue stream.
Yeah,
right there.
That's right. We could
big
lower our taxes right there because of all of the people that we could bust.
And all those truck drivers that are drinking, they can do it legally now.
And they can take the edge off all the narcotics or the amphetamines that they're jacking themselves
up. There you go.
Okay, there you go.
See, I had these great ideas in the middle of my sleep.
We don't condone this.
Okay, one more little bit of beer news. Vitamin-packed beer. Pour yourself a cold one, Beer Maker says, and enjoy the nutrition. For beer lovers, it sounds too good to be true. Vitamin-enhanced beer that not only increases your nutrient intake, but also eases hangovers. Well, a Texas beer company says it's created a brew that fits that bill, but there is a little bit of skepticism. Fred Matt, one of the brewers, says Stampede Plus. There's a name. Stampede Plus.
Yeah.
Not just your regular Stampede. Aimed at active, healthy consumers who drink a boatload of beer.
I think I've seen a special on this. The FDA is not going to allow them to promote it as being healthy or good for you.
FDA doesn't regulate vitamins.
Like beer either.
That's right. FDA ain't going to get to do nothing in that. It says Matt hinted that vitamin B might be one of the key ingredients. I thought beer itself was vitamin B. That's what I said.
Vitamin beer.
Well, if you pour it over your Special K, you get all your vitamins. Oh, I'm sorry, over total. Pour your beer over your total in the morning.
There you go.
That's
right. You're off to a good start. You're feeling better about yourself. Life takes on a whole new outlook.
And your wives look good.
And you got your fiber.
Yeah.
So here's the rationalization. essentially, when you drink your alcohol, you are depleting vitamin B, and what we're doing is putting vitamin B into the beer. And so you wake up the next morning, and you feel a lot better. That's their scientific reasoning. However, most beers, depending on the brewing process, often contain any number of vitamins and minerals like folate and vitamin C. So, is Stampede Plus based on solid science or a strange brew? David Robbins, an internist at Beth Israel Hospital, said that vitamin B was one of the nutrients depleted by alcohol consumption, but doubted it had much effect on hangovers. I think it had to do with, like, dehydrating yourself.
I believe that has a lot more to do with it.
Because it depresses the nervous system, blood slows down, your vessels shrink up, then when it kicks back in, your head hurts.
I believe that is the more technical reason for having
So all the more reason to have beer for breakfast.
That's
that way
right.
You don't have a hangover.
You know, Dean Martin said, if you want to eliminate hangovers, keep drinking. But of course, we don't condone irresponsible drinking. We only condone responsible drinking, and that's quality, not necessarily quantity, despite the fact that we're working our way through seven beers.
Occasionally, we're willing to be a bad example to
you. That's right, and only because we're taking the bullet for you, so you don't have to.
Well, I think the responsible thing is for Kenny to open another beer.
That's right.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
All right, so what are we having?
Martin was giving him a ration about the way he opened the last bottle, so.
See, they are no twist off.
Okay. Oh, did you scrape your little hands?
No, my AA counselor warned me against things like
that. No, I like this story. I don't know what you guys are going to think about it. Palestinian eyes alcohol-free beer after Hamas win. Hamas' surprise election win worried some Palestinians, including beer drinkers, that the group would impose strict Islamic laws. Hamas has sought to calm down such beers, declaring it would not shut bars but only preach against them. Islam prohibits alcohol consumption.
Wait a minute. The what was that about the bars would preach against the bars?
Hamas was not going to shut down the bars. They were only going to preach against going to them.
So they were not – okay, so they're okay with free or sort of free enterprise, but they're going to tell you do not go there or you're burning the fiery pit of hell.
Well, Islam prohibits alcohol consumption.
Well, I think Islam also prohibits killing people, but that doesn't stop them either.
No alcohol is openly sold in Gaza. Huh. Then it goes on and says, Hamas has carried out nearly 60 suicide bombings in Israel since Palestinian uprising began in 2000. It has sworn to Israel's destruction, but has largely abided by a ceasefire agreed to a year ago. Hmm. Israel and the United States have vowed to boycott Hamas-led government until it recognizes the Jewish state, renounces violence, and accepts interim peace deals.
All right, so we need to lay our hands, someone out there in Podland, help us lay our hands on this so that we can do a comparison because, you remember the beer we had?
Was it the Jewish, the Hebrew?
We had Hebrew beer. We need some Palestinian to go head-to-head, and the Jews were not afraid of alcohol.
Well, I'm kind of thinking that there'd be a few less suicide bombings if these people were just allowed to have a good beer at
have
night.
Have a beer and relax.
Just like everyone else. You get
Let your veil down. Relax.
You're less likely to go strap on a bomb.
I think so. And yeah, issue instead of like they'd have like the little bombs, you know, when they open their shirt and they got the bombs, little canisters around them.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like six packs.
That's right. They could have Hamas-flavored beer or Hamas beers.
Okay.
Well, that's disturbing on so many levels.
It is, isn't it?
So what are we drinking?
Yeah.
What are we cracking to here?
Boulder Beer, Single Trek, Copper Ale.
You say
Boulder.
Oh, Boulder.
As in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
Oh, not Little Rock, Arkansas.
You've been waiting all night.
I have been. Yes, that's true.
So that is a
Somebody write in. Let us know if you thought that was funny.
Okay, did you say Single Trek? So it's another bicycle beer? Hell yeah. There you go. Right there. What is it about Colorado and bicycles?
I don't know.
That's where
the fat tire guy was.
Yeah. And so here we have another one, which is single track.
I happen to know we worked with a company out of Boulder for quite a while. And that rock there, that's quite famous. It's the rock on the label of the beer bottle here. So for those of you that can't see what I'm pointing at.
lean a little closer to your computer.
Okay, can we make a request that the podcast people from Colorado send us email, let us know why the bicycle is such a big thing.
Well, they do mountain biking there. Huge. People ride their mountain bikes to work. They're granola freaks, you know.
Okay.
I love Boulder people, but
And of course, we're not alienating anyone. We despise everyone equally.
I don't think your granola munching, mountain biking nature enthusiast is listening to our podcast.
But you say that with love.
I think if we introduce them to pouring their beer over their total cereal, okay, that will change.
All right, we need to wind up. We got one more nice little song that we're going to play for you, and this is kind of a I think we said something about New Orleans.
Are we
going
to talk about Hermione Granger?
Yes, we are, but I'm saving that. Okay. So just sit through the song in suspense, wondering what the hell we got to say about Hermione Granger. This is Lou Ann Barton, and she is singing Down South in New Orleans.
Okay, well, that was a New Orleans song, and we have a couple of stories about Mardi Gras 2006. There's a story from the Bayou Buzz. New Orleans has successful Mardi Gras. Mayor C. Ray Nagin held a press conference today announcing statistical findings for the carnival season. Mardi Gras was a complete success, and we truly appreciate that all celebrate our 150th anniversary with us.
Is this from today?
Why, yes, it was.
Yeah, because it was... It was Fat
Tuesday.
Two days ago, right?
Yeah. But by the time our listeners hear the show, it'll probably be
a week
or so.
It might be Halloween. Who knows?
So the next story on this, New Orleans Police Department says crime during Mardi Gras down 60%.
Same as the crowds.
That's what I'm going to say. Isn't it because of population?
Listen to this. This year's celebrations drew an estimated 350,000 people to New Orleans compared to the usual 1 million. So the crowds were down over 60%, and so was the crime.
Oh. So then levels were maintained.
There were more than 630 citywide arrested over the 8-day season, mostly for minor offenses like public intoxication and lewd conduct. Last year, the number of arrests was 1,574.
Now, on that day or the week or?
Over the 8-day period.
Oh, okay.
So how do they clean up after all this? Cleanup continued in Lafayette in the wake of the Mardi Gras revelry. I think they're still trying to clean up from Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah. How would they know?
So how did they clean up Mardi Gras? Inmates from Lafayette Parish Correctional Center cleaned up some of the trash around Cajun Field.
There you go.
They picked up boxes, beads, and other trash left over from Mardi Gras. Lafayette Public Works officials say they collected 300 cubic yards of garbage from city streets, enough to fill about 15 18-wheel trailers.
And how much of that were cups that had beer in them?
Oh, gosh, wasted beer. I don't know.
Now we hope they're empty cups.
That would be abusive.
So the whole point of all of this Mardi Gras discussion was that beer consumption and the alcohol-induced revelry was down this year.
Well, yes, it was. But the Mascaris, I guess, went down.
They had a good time.
Yeah.
I saw the family pictures.
Yeah. And I just thought it was kind of funny that they can use people from the correctional facility to clean up after Mardi Gras, but they can't use them to clean up after Hurricane Katrina.
Good point.
You know, it's all FEMA's problem then, but with Mardi Gras, they can use the prisoners.
Well, that's one of those things, you know, next year, of course, I'll be back. So let's see. Now, Kenny, what were you saying earlier about since we named the show and we managed to offend pretty much every religion on the planet.
Yep.
Now we're going after the inmates. Who else have we pissed off? Oh, women, of course. All women. And,
and for those who really must know, Kenny's address is?
No.
Let's not get into that. I'm moving.
We're sampling
changing my name.
We're sampling another beer.
This is our number 7.
Where
Past
is the list?
Time. It is a pale ale, and this is also from the Boulder Beer Company, Colorado's first microbrewery. And we're looking at the label and the pass. It's referring, of course, to the pass through the mountains. And it shows a nice little stream with some Adirondack chairs next to the stream. So this is I guess you would call this an American pale ale.
Well, it says Pastime Pale Ale is a smooth, soft, drinkable British-style pale ale.
British-style. Okay.
Sit back and pass the time. Won awards, just like all these beers. Grains, U.S. medium caramel malt. U.S. dark caramel malt, U.S. two-row malted barley, a British beer with U.S. malts.
Okay.
Hops, Cascade, Chinook, and Hallertau, those are mostly U.S. Original gravity, 12.9%. Alcohol by volume, 4.96%.
Okay.
And you can tell. It's a contradiction, though.
Yeah, it is.
On the bottle it says 4%. No more than 4%.
No more than 4. Yeah.
Say, alcohol by weight or alcohol by volume?
By volume.
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't know.
The internet lied to me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If you can't trust the internet, what hope is there for all of us?
Well, but, that's what the Chinese have been saying about their internet all these years.
There you go. Well, so the bit of barbecue news, we talked before about Rick's ribs. Rick's going to smoke a turkey. I'm going to do my take at ribs. Hopefully we'll have some audience participation with some people coming over to try some of these. And
Dick, if you don't lock your back door, I'll be here.
Okay. And I think what we're going to pick a contest. We had the one that we were talking about in Batesville.
That was our action item for this meeting.
And the Batesville one, they gave us a loophole where we could go in under an assumed name and that way not jeopardize ourselves. And that is at the end of March. So it's either going to be that one or it's going to be the following contest, which I want to say is the Marion one. We'll have it for sure.
I think the following one is working better for me.
Yeah.
That last weekend in March, I'm pretty.
Well, we're going to get the rest of the ribs. So where we're going with all this is look forward to a lot more pictures, and I think maybe we can get some commentary from some people and see how we're doing. And we're going to wind up with if you went to the website to download this show as opposed to just subscribing to it, you saw this picture of this girl who you should probably have recognized. It's a young Hermione Granger, whose real name is Emma Watson, the little girl from
Harry Potter.
And you're probably asking yourself, why has she got a corona jammed into her little 15-year-old
mouth? She would be
mouth?
The mudblood Wizardess.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. But she's swilling down her some Corona. And apparently she is there's some skepticism about, is this a real picture or a fake picture? Some people are claiming they're fake. We have been sent some extra pictures showing Emma with one of the girls in the Budweiser photo and pictures of Emma wearing the same shirt that she's wearing in these Corona pictures. So one thing's for sure, they won't photograph well. We're going to choose to believe them because the Internet doesn't lie.
And doctors pictures.
And if Emma's parents are listening, if you get a hold of us, we take money for not posting those pictures.
That's right. We got more pictures and better pictures. But anyway, this is just pretty funny stuff. You know, 15, I guess, well, she's in the UK.
Yeah.
That's about right.
That might be right over there.
Okay. So I think,
and of course, she may be in Palestine too, and that may be non-alcoholic beer she's drinking.
It's non-alcoholic Corona, is what that is. Okay, I think we're cutting that one out.
That one's on the floor, okay. The cutting room floor.
Okay. So let's wrap this up. Call it a show, Kenny. Thank you for finally making it over here, and
thanks for all the.
We hope we haven't run you off.
All you've contributed to our show,
appreciate Kenny.
That.
And next time, would you not talk so much?
I'll try not to.
You got to learn. You got to hold back. You got to.
You should
yourself,
hear Kenny and I at lunch. Sometimes they're like minutes of silence. That's right.
As y'all are both thinking great thoughts.
Oh yeah, deep thinking.
Well, this has been about 40 minutes of silence.
There you go. All right. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Drive safe.